Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Under the trench coat, with Rolling in the Geek.
Anyway.
Hello and welcome to Under the Trench Coat, the after show bonus episode for Riven, the Shattered Continent. I am Ken Brown, your Dungeon Master.
And I am Trevor. Sorry, I was still stuck there on that cliffhanger.
Hi, I'm Nick. and you know, you would think that that listening to Brad do that every week gets old, but I promise you it doesn't. I love listening to him complain right now live, and I love listening to it again later when I edit, and then again when we record, and it's cyclical. And you know what? I think it's my lifeblood.
And then Saturdays when we're actually playing a game, and
oh, as opposed to now when we're fake playing a game.
Yeah.
Well, when we're apparently playing face to face.
That's not what you said. You said actually playing a game.
Yeah, well, I'm not fully with it right now.
Well, you're a dickhead.
True. But
thank you, Nick, for being the rock that I cling to. that you were even keel and not You're always, and I'm Nick. I appreciate that as part of my Friday / early Saturday.
Well, anyway, no, honestly, I can't red button push in TOA, so you guys are gonna have to take it double time.
Oh, fuck that! I have plans for how Harkos dies, and it's not by your hand, dude. And by you, I don't mean Trevor. I mean Brad. Brad causes the Harkos death. Also, just to put in perspective, we're not planning Harkos dying. I play out character deaths in my head because I always think it's a possibility. Just so Patreon people don't, well, actually this is for everybody, so just so people don't think that we're scripting deaths into the game, I'm just always ready for every decision to result in my untimely demise.
Yeah.
And not even specifically Ken, just every time, all the things. I don't trust any decision I make.
So let's jump into this. So you got to talk face to face with Malus.
Oh, we're starting with that. I mean, I guess that's where the episode started, isn't it? Yep, that we sure did.
That was something, man.
Something right out of left fucking field.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm trying he tried to explain it the best that he could.
I got it.
And you know, it's just because he cares about his daughter and that he loves his daughter does not mean that he wants
her to be a tyrannical overlord.
Yeah. Like the he in a way, this is tearing him because right. He wants to see his daughter do well. He wants to see his daughter be successful and powerful and be what she's supposed to be. But, you know, he has also lived in this world for a very, 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 10 minutes later, very, very, very long time. And the way that I kind of, and this is for your guys, you know, that you heard his words, Alakandar spoke, the walking destruction is one of his, is part of his words. Mm-hmm. There was a time that he was that. And I mean, if you break down his name, Malus, it's M-A-L-U-S. Maul, M-A-L, is definitely the root word for, you know, malice, malcontent. You know, it's, mm-hmm. It's not. And, you know, that those things are all stitched together. But people change. And so his view on the world, his view on life and his children has changed. And he's trying to ride on a fence that's getting ready to break down. And he's kind of tipping his hand with what he did, you know, and say, okay, this is what I guess I'm going to have to push for.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you don't know what his, you know, real core motives, you know, like how he actually feels about some of this stuff. You know, you only know what he told you, but, you know, there's a lot of things packed into him. But he gave you a present.
He says it's a present.
May not be a present that you were expecting or that you wanted, but it's a present.
You want to know what would be a better present? Parenting your children. You want to come to us. You want to come to us and be like, oh, I'm sorry, my daughter's a piece of shit, but I love her. Just don't kill her. How about, look, we want to put this in perspective. I have a new cat. She's adorable. I love her to bits. I want to see her grow into a nice adult cat, get along with the other one, be cuddly, be a lovable pet, and live a nice long life in her forever home with Jen and I. I also like my shelf full of pop figures. shelves that I have spent a very, 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 10 minutes later, very, very stupid amount of money on. And when she climbs on them, I don't go, oh, it's in her nature. No, I grab her and go, that's not your shelf. Stop knocking over my things. Weirdly enough, Malus has never grabbed Syraxis and said, stop breaking my toys. No, he came to us and said, don't let her break my toys. But also, like, if you break her, we're probably going to have issues. Here's another dragon to smooth that talk over. And here's how to raise it from the dead and hope that it's on your side.
Well, and he did tell you that he was an ally of your patron. Numerath was an ally of Numerath. So it stands to some amount of reason that will not have changed too much. But it's, you know, if you want to look at it from that perspective, yeah, it is a little bit of a coin toss. Is like, well, has time changed anything? Or is it another Borvensol situation where, well, they're actually bad. You know, and from your guys' perspective, I totally get it. It's like, well, what do we do with this?
Right.
But, you know, at least in the past, you know that at least, or he told you that Henshi Darath was an ally of Numenor.
We got a lot of new info to go off of that came from the bad lady's dad and his pretty much biggest claim to no, you can trust me is, well, she's not here, is she? I don't fucking know. I don't know what's going on. Like, she could be here somewhere. Dude just went off in a room and grabbed a fucking jar. Maybe she's in a different room. Your room opened up out of a fucking wall. I don't know if she's here. So your whole, well, I didn't, my daughter's not here listening to this. Whoopty fucking woo. For all I know, like you said, like you just said, his name, here, might sound crazy, might sound bad. It's Crackpot Corner, Nick and Brad. This man is the, what did you say? He's the what of destruction?
The walking destruction.
The walking destruction. How do we know when he crawled out of the primordial ooze and became whatever the fuck he is, he was walking destruction in the literal sense? He walked around and fucked shit up. He's been alive a very long time. That's boring now. Violence gets boring to old beings. It happens in all kinds of media. That's very meta for me to say. I'm not saying this is where Harkless is at, but this is Nick's Crackpot Corner. Violence is boring. You want to know what's not? Playing both sides and watching them beat each other to death. That's still destruction, and he gets to walk through the wreckage afterwards. And you want to know something? He'll find another baby after this war is over to use that was also part of both sides, and he'll just cyclically bring his daughter back until that's boring, and then he'll find something else. There is absolutely nothing until this dragon in this fucking brass dragon proves useful. And honestly, we get to the end of this all and he's not a total douchebag. And if we don't kill his daughter and he's just like, all right, I'll like go fucking put her in a room now. Thanks for punishing her for me. I don't know that he's given us anything to trust him on just because he was civil. So was Syraxis. Syraxis was fucking civil, but we also said we'd kill each other later.
He was very he didn't mince his words, certainly.
He's with you. Old. Violence is boring. I'm telling you, this lines up. Everything here tracks. I don't know if I've reached a point where I can't trust Ken in this game anymore. I don't know what I didn't like it. And there was part of it that felt weird about Harkos doing that because I'm trying to turn over the whole second chance leaf. But there's just something. He made the whole comment about it's best not to spit on the hand when it reaches out to. Yeah, well, that same fucking hand walked out of the room with the lady that kidnapped and almost murdered my friends. So the last time I saw you, you walked out, no qualms, no like little nods like, hey, don't worry, like I'm gonna take care of business. No anything. You walked out with your daughter and your little bodyguard, and then now we see you in a secret room and you're like, hey, sorry she's sucky. Please don't murder her, but definitely stop her. How about go fuck yourself? If you want something done, you fucking do it. I don't know what to make of it all. This whole extra dragon jar is really uncomfortable. I do want to point out, I don't know if Brad picked it up, I was struggling a little bit while he was talking because he kept talking about Syraxis and stuff. He would say like daughter this, daughter that, blah blah blah, and then there was a point where he was saying stuff and he was saying her.
Yeah.
And my brain, like the way Ken was talking, I was like, that doesn't fucking make sense. Like this, like timeline, all this shit doesn't make sense. What do you mean Syraxis did those things? No, her's the other progenitor. Her is Numerath's mom.
Her children. Yep.
Because she kept saying her children. I was like, fucking Syraxis has kids? What the fuck? Like, what does that mean? Is that the Herald? Like, but she has multiple? No, her is the other progenitor. Her is the metallic dragon mommy.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering if that played well enough that you understood his difference with those.
Not out of the gate, I think, just because I was on a hate train, and then I was like, ooh, lore. So so my ears perked up being as I missed the fucking the boat on the Master Elijah train. So
well, and you know, at least from what Avalon told you, that she and you are the only natural born children of Methuselah's.
Mm-hmm.
The other heralds are extensions of, you know, so like Divinia is part of Numerath.
Oh, God.
So to the best of your and supposedly her knowledge, the two of you are the only children that have actually been born of Methuselah's.
Yeah, and I in this moment, mulling all this information over, did I just realize, obviously I knew in my case, but in mine and Avalon's case, if we die, we don't come back. In my understanding of these rules, I guess I don't know that, but if the others are extensions of the Methuselah, they get brought back because the Methuselah can use their power to just regenerate these heralds that are essentially an extension of themselves. You can't do that to I mean, I guess you could resurrect somebody, but that ain't the same business.
You can make that logical leap that it does put a monkey wrench into
the
situation with Avalon specifically.
Yeah, because I'm obviously like me being played like that. My brain's already there, but I just realized that like Avalon is got no fucking plot armor.
Nope.
Oh, so much new stress. So much new stress.
It especially puts the situation that you found her in into a much scarier light than it was before.
Yeah.
She was on the brink of death when Sterling found her. So,
which I 100%, like, we walked in and I was like, why does it matter if she dies? Like, she'll be back. And it wasn't until this moment. Oh God, my fucking chest hurts.
another big piece of information that Trevor was standing face to face with the person who made him be the key. Yeah. And apparently he did not make you feel any better about that.
No, not really. No. Like, I know his intent was, because it definitely felt like that was what he was going for, was...
Well, he said, it's not your fault. I just made it be your fault, so it's my fault. That's like the long and short.
Basically.
That's the long and short.
Basically, like, yeah.
You didn't do it alone. I helped you do it.
Yeah. Well, like I said, his intent was to make it not so bad, but it didn't work.
You feel worse about it?
No, not really.
Okay, well, that's something. Yeah, because he genuinely was trying to take some of that pressure off of you,
right?
He's got a lot of insight, and I don't know if you kind of caught a lot of that, but he knew things that he shouldn't know with some of the conversations that he had. Yeah, like there's things that he would have had no reason to know, but he knew.
Right.
Like, you know, you serving Numerath. I mean, he's met you twice now.
Well, and like him,
three times, you know.
Him knowing that I thought it was my fault.
Yeah, him knowing that. You know, there's a lot of things that he knows more then he will let on, and he kind of let that break for a moment so that he could try to do that. He could try to make you feel better, which, you know, didn't succeed on, but, you know, he made the attempt.
Right.
And that should tell you that he's, you know, He might be bad guy, but he is not bad guy.
Doesn't mean a damn thing.
Okay. Also did give the that final little should visit a particular shining city and then continue to head south.
Fucking suck a toe. How'd you like my cheaty info grab on your tabaxi?
I actually think that had was that cheaty.
So I had the intent of him being the last piece of info that he dropped is like, by the way, there is another herald here. Like, I had full intention of him putting that out there, and you made me have to course correct very quickly after you asked that question. I was like, oh shit, now what is he gonna fucking reveal?
You said pure wall.
I wasn't expecting it, but I was. I guess I should have.
And pure wall sounded semi familiar for some reason.
The name has been mentioned to you before, it was in what context? I can't remember what context it was dropped, but yeah, the name has been given to you at some point.
So I started going back through my songs to look in the margins of my notes, but I couldn't, because I thought, I was like, oh fuck, was that the Tabaxi's name? And then when I got to what I was looking for, it was not the Tabaxi's name, and the Tabaxi's name was there. So I was like, well, fuck, I'm just going to ask this guy about the Tabaxi then, because why the fuck wouldn't I? And then as I started to do it, I was like, man, but does this fucking make sense? Like, Harkos wasn't trusting this person. And then I was like, no, you know what? This will be Harkos's way of, like, showing that he's giving this guy the benefit of the doubt. And it will be it would make sense for Harkos, because Harkos is like how I worded it. He's worried about people watching, like all these secrets are coming out in Aetherport, and he's like, okay, Harkos has clearly thought there was something fucking up with this guy. So he will use it in that vein of like, all right, then tell me what should we be worried about this person? And then apparently we should only be kind of worried, because there's a chance that he's also a turncoat.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Brad, you don't get to make friends with it just because it's green.
Rude.
But also true.
Yeah, that's fair.
Rude.
That's fucking fair.
Rude.
But it was so funny to me because you have barked up the wrong tree with Aquin so many times, but like you're just one tree over from the right tree. I dropped that not subtle hint of the green eyes. I was expecting that to be a dead giveaway when I dropped that piece of something.
I never know how on the nose your shit's supposed to be. So sometimes I'm right there for it, and then other times I'm like, green. Green is a sign for envy. Who's been envious of? And I take some roundabout fucking bullshit path to a crackpot corner that makes no fucking sense. It's like, that's a weird jump to make. And then I explain it. I'm like, oh, that kind of makes sense. It's still super fucking weird, but sure. And then it comes out, and I'm like, oh, it was just the thing that was right there.
But the whole situation does end up begging the question of how did Avalon not recognize?
Right.
Because Avalon thinks that heralds only have one form, and I realize that it's a weird backstory bullshit for when it comes to rhyme, but I let on, she's like, what did he look like? And I was like, I don't know, some fucking old monk guy. And she's like, weird, we only usually have one thing we can look like. So shit's fucking weird on that front too.
Well, you know,
episode 76, that was when we mentioned Pure Wa, because I have it in my notes. It says North Loxfang's mountain range, Hinshi Durath and Pure Wa, dragon and herald. So whatever the fuck happened in that episode. Oh, that was when we talked to Torevir.
Which is contrary to, like, it's like a mix and match, like, not mix and match, but there's information that's floating around, like, that was kind of what he he was trying to like nail down there, is that there's false rumors, and you know, so that maybe what Torevir, you know, had been able to catch is wrong. Like, he seemed fairly confident in what he was saying, because I like playing these games, and especially since that stuff is so prevalent, you know, that you hear, you know, there's this big thing, and oh well, you know, so this is the fact, and then, you know, oh wait, no, it isn't. I've talked about that being the theme of, like, what happens if history is forgotten, and in the same vein as, you know, that the power that a word has, and so. This rumor being that they're here, it ends up kind of toying with the world as a whole for something is just as simple as, you know, this person trying to find their master. It's fun for me. It might be a dick thing, but it's fun for me. Because, I mean, that's a potential side quest that you could have gone on and gone to the completely wrong place. Mm-hmm. Just because the intel was bad. You know, that the words were taken for exactly what they are, when it's not necessarily the truth. The same thing goes for the herald's words. Is, you know, there is fact within those words, but it's fact based on a perception. Because, like, I mentioned at one point, I think it was somewhere in that block of episodes, of Onyx Yath's words were changed to reflect Syraxis's view of Onyx Yath and the assembly of Methuselahs. And so the words were changed based on the perception, even though that perception, if you were looking at it from the other side, is completely different. You know, but there's always a kernel. There's a truth, and there's the perception. Mm-hmm. And it can alter things. And I mean, if you look at Malus's words, that is the walking destruction, and if you take that 100% at face value, then yeah, it could be very scary to think about dealing with this person. But if you take what he's telling you, that's a different life. Yeah, I like toying with things. I'm a monster. Anyway, I think that we need to address the elephant in the room of Brad getting a fucking 9.
That's fucking awesome.
No, it's not. You wasted it. You wasted it. We're going to need that sometime in the future. You're going to have another moment where you're like, fuck, I'm going to try this. What's the worst thing that could happen? And you're never going to get it. And you're use it now. Right. And when that moment comes along, when you go, ah, fuck, well, at least I tried. I'm going to go, yeah, remember when you used it on the city and people still died? But if you would have managed to sack up right now, we'd probably be in a pretty great situation. I just want you to think on that, Brad, as it comes to my turn. I want you to think on that, and I want you to feel bad. And it's not your fault. It's not like you had any control over those dice. But that's how this is going to play out, and I want you to be aware of that now so no one can call me a dickhead in the future.
I think it's amazing.
I'm being forthcoming with how mean I'm going to be, and I want that accepted by all.
I think it's amazing for a couple reasons. One, because honestly, it was one of those moments where Trevor really needed it. And two, it totally monkey wrenched Ken.
Yeah.
Because he had to take a stop for a minute to figure out what the fuck he was going to do. That alone makes it worth it.
Yeah, and so, like, one of the things is, you know, with that is that the phrasing on divine intervention is that, you know, the DM chooses the nature of the intervention, the effect of any cleric spell or cleric domain spell would be appropriate.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, fuck, what? And so I actually did two spell effects. Just ramped up. One of which was Dawn, where you got the, you know, Dawn that burned away the clouds and started to melt the snow, which is going to aid in, because the snow was going to be an impediment right. to getting people out. I had already thought about that, and was part of the whole bit with, ah, shit, we gotta get people out, but there's all this fucking snow that's blocking off roadways, blah, blah, blah. And so that was one solution to that. And then the other one was Hallow, which basically puts, like, a protection over a certain area. And so that was the dragon wings enveloping the city of Aetherport.
Nice.
Which, again, not how I was expecting that to go.
So if you don't mind me asking, what was the DC to actually make my initial idea work the way I wanted it?
So the way that I had, that was a two-step system that I had set up there. Step one was you actually succeeding in reaching people, which was the charisma persuasion check that you did. And then I rolled percentages to see what percentage of people would be affected.
So my 19 actually succeeded. You just rolled a low percentage.
I just I rolled a lower percentage, which I think it was like 21% is what I rolled. And so that was like, oh shit. Well, you succeeded, but you wouldn't have gotten anybody if you hadn't succeeded on the persuasion, you know. So, you know, you succeeded, just not to the extent that you would have liked to start off with. Because I kind of, what I'm envisioning for this is that you guys are going to try a few different things and to try to get people out, and then it's just going to be like stacking. So whatever percentage you get to with your successes on this is how many people you're able to save of the total Aetherport population.
So there's potential we could save everybody.
There's potential, but I'm not saying that it's exceptionally likely.
Right.
You know, that the possibility of people dying here is very high. It's just how much of that loss can be mitigated through your and your allies' actions. But we will see next episode how that goes. And apparently, you were enjoying that whole shtick at the end there, Brad. Getting goosebumps,
man. See, those are the ones that kill me, where I'm like super invested and I'm listening to how you're describing it and I'm playing it out in my head and I got fucking goosebumps. And then you're, and that's where we'll call it. Those are the moments where I both love and hate you a little.
It keeps you coming back.
No, the cliffhangers don't keep me coming back.
That they don't?
Nope.
You don't have to know. You don't have to know what was going to happen.
No, it's the story in general that keeps me coming back.
All right, fine. All right, well, I think we're coming up against our time here, so is there any other final thoughts, questions, concerns, or comments that you have before we close up the trench coat?
I don't think I have anything.
I don't think so.
Okay. All right, well, I'm Ken.
I'm Brad.
And I'm Nick.
And we will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Love you.
Stop it.
Stop.
Stop.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.